thankful that repetition is the mother of learning, because we keep taking opportunities to review things, and as we're going in through the series on the world, the series on the world system, and the world system is a subtle enemy. There's lots of nuances to understanding how the world system can influence us, can get our mind in the wrong area, and so we're going to continue to overlap in some of the contexts that we covered, but hopefully when we do, we come at it from just a slightly different angle, just to pick up a little more. And so, you know, one of the important areas to know and understand as Christians when it comes to the world system, as the believer has been separated from it at initial salvation. And so if we don't understand our relationship to the world system and our position in Christ, it can lead to some futility in trying to relate to it or to live in it. And so we'll expand on this as we go forward today. But when we're talking about the world system, we're talking about it's an organized system of unsaved humanity within the culture or society. And so I'd like to point this out when we review it, because sometimes we can forget that this world system has a ruler. It has an organizer. Satan is the originator of it. He's the organizer of it, and he's the ruler of it. So we'll just go to a few verses to illustrate that. Keep in mind, when we come across the word prince in our English translation, it's a Greek word that has the idea of ruler. And it can have the concept or the idea of commander. So sometimes I've even translated it that way, just so we put that to mind, that this world system, this organized system that we live in here on earth, it's an organized system, and it does have a commander. And so let me just go back to John chapter 14. And in the upper room in verse 30, the Lord says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world is coming." Now, and so here our word here, prince, he's talking about the ruler. The ruler of the world is coming. Now, why does he say this? Well, he's been betrayed, and Judas is coming after the betrayal. So we have to go back into chapter 13 and verse 27, and we can see prior to Judas leaving the group that Satan entered him. "And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, Thou that doest, do quickly." And so here in the upper room in 14:30, he says, the prince of this world is coming and has nothing in me. And so he's looking forward to the cross work, but he's speaking about Satan, who's behind the actions of these unsaved people that are going to be involved in crucifying him. We can also see in John 16:11, by the way, looking forward and speaking of the Holy Spirit in verse 8, and says, "When he is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so, the prince, the ruler, the commander of this world, the world system, he stands judged. And so he uses a perfect tense here to say the ruler of the world system stands judged. And so his time is short. The sentence will be carried out. This world system is passing away. It's not going to continue on. And so that's important for us to know, as we're living in a corrupt system that Satan is the ruler of, but it's temporary. It's temporary. So we shouldn't get too caught up in the things that are going on. I mean, Satan's manipulating a lot of things. A lot of these things can get the Christian distracted. One of the subtleties of the world system is it can get us caught up in the things that are going on here in this physical life on planet Earth, and it can replace where our focus and the environment we should be focusing on, our position in Christ. And so that's one of the things we're going to use in Colossians 2 to illustrate this, how the world system ultimately, it can encourage you to live by the flesh and neglect your position in Christ. Now, keep in mind, everything that you have and are in Christ is based upon what Christ has accomplished. None of our accomplishments are a part of that. Everything we are in Christ is based upon what Christ has accomplished on behalf of us. That's grace. That's grace. The world system wants to encourage you to live in the flesh and for you to do things or to accomplish things. And so what we want to see here is we have a position in Christ where we've already been separated from the world system. So we're in it, but we're not out from it as the source. And so this is important. Let's turn back to one other place before I open with the word of prayer. Let's go back to 1 John 5:19 for just a reminder. That the whole world lies in the evil one. 1 John 5:19. And so here's Dale's word. We know, we factually know, this is Oida, we know that we are out from God as the source. And the whole world lies in the King James unfortunately translated wickedness, but it's just literally the malignant evil one. It's our Pani Ross term. The whole world lies, and so the whole world, and I believe he's talking about the world system here. He's talking about the whole world system and the unsaved that make the system work. They lie, depends on how we take this word as a middle or a passive, but it we understand it as the sphere of authority. It lies in the sphere of authority of the malignant evil one. And he's the ruler of it. And so when we understand that it's the unsaved who make up Satan's organized system, cosmos has the idea of organization. It's his organized system. But just keep in mind that all of the unsaved that make up this organized system, they only have one nature from which they can live. Fallen nature, the sin nature. And so when you think about how the world system is organized, it's organized in a manner then that encourages people to live by the flesh, but it's restrains certain works of the flesh and encourages and rewards other works of the flesh. And so it becomes a way for people to accomplish things. The world system, it provides standards for people to live by. It provides standards for people to judge. How are they doing? And you can do this by comparing yourselves to others. So the world system will encourage you to judge how you're doing by comparing yourself to others. You've heard the term keeping up with the Joneses. Well, that's the world system at work to keep people looking at how they're doing. And so as long as, you know, your neighbor is living in means close to what you're living, you're supposed to be content. But then as soon as you see somebody get a new car or a new boat or new this, all of a sudden that can start to appeal to the sin nature, to certain works of the flesh, to want to keep up, to want this, to need this for this convenience or that. You see how the world system can be involved in all of these areas. And so the world system that provides formulas, if you will, formulas for how you can do this or how you can do that, how you can become this or become that. The thing with the world system, though, is all of its formulas are focused on the physical life, the here and the now, and they usually end up with, you know, do this and get this, but there's a big void in their formula, the world system's formula. It includes independence from God. And so the world system is going to set up standards by which people can live, do things, and accomplish things, but it's going to encourage you to do it independent of God's standards. So in some ways, it's going to replace God's standards with its own and say, well, yeah, you can use God's standards in these circumstances, but over here, when it comes to physical life, and over here, you should use these standards. But, you know, God has provided something for us in our position in Christ that applies across every aspect of our lives. And so when we order the details of our lives, we should be ordering the details of our lives in our position in Christ. We should be walking in Him. And so there's not certain aspects of your life where you'd be neglecting that truth. But the world system will encourage that. Let me open with a word of prayer, and we will we'll look at a few things today. I'm going to go back into Colossians 2. I know I've been there a few times, but I stopped the message short of where I was intending to go. And so since it's been a couple of weeks, I want to go a little further today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful for the opportunities to be in your word, to be around other believers. And we would just pray that your spirit would continue to grow our understanding and appreciation in these things, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So the world system, it's Satan's baby. It's designed to constrain mankind to act in a certain matter. It's to provide to, or it's designed to provide a restraint to the sin nature. At the same time, it rewards certain works of the flesh. And so remember, all of Satan's children, they have only one nature from which they can live. And so in encouraging unsaved humanity to walk in a certain way, he's got to do that within that framework. So it encourages people to walk by the flesh. The Christian, in contrast, should order the details of one's life by one's position in Christ. This is where we have the potential, if we put it into practice, we can live above the sin nature. We can live in God's will, in His perfect will, and we can live according to his standards and his provisions. Those things can't happen when we're walking by the flesh. And so I was thinking about a good place. There's a number of places in Scripture we can see some of these things, but I wanted to go back to Colossians 2, because in Colossians 2, Paul's writing, and in the city of Colossae, you had these believers who were being influenced by the world system to follow standards. And these standards were coming from a variety of places. They were coming from Judaism, from Gnosticism. You probably had some Oriental mysticism in the area. Colossae was a place of travel, as people were traveling from west to east. And so you have a mixture of these things. And so you had a number of influences. And these influences could cause believers to live by legalistic principles and according to other standards that were not based upon Christ's completed cross work. And so when you think about we live in the dispensation of grace. Well, any standard that's not going to be based upon the completed cross work of Christ for living is going to be a standard that's ultimately not for God, because we're to be living by grace and not by legalistic principles. And so I'm going to turn back, and so in Colossians 2, and I would cover the beginning chapter, but I would get bogged down with the mystery there. So I'm going to just pick up in Colossians 2:5. So here you're going to see Paul's joy regarding their steadfastness of their faith in Christ. And so Paul, as a spiritual Christian, is supernaturally experiencing this mental appreciation for where these believers are. And so in verse 5, he says, "For though I be absent in the flesh," talking about physical flesh, he says, "yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So now he's going to continue, he's going to encourage them to continue in that by ordering the details of their life in Christ. He says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," and so it's that title, Lord, there is important. So, you have therefore received Christ Jesus as Lord, as you've received him as the master, the divine master. He says, "So walk ye in him." So if you're going to allow him to be the master, the divine master in your life, you're going to have to do things God's way. You're going to have to do things by God's standard. You know, I'm happy that Frank Sinatra could do things his way. But his way, your way, or my way is not going to line up with God's way. So if we want to do things as Christians that are glorifying to God, we're going to have to do it God's way. And so here Paul's telling these believers, walk in this strong, this imperative, walk. Order the details of your life in him, in Christ. He's the Lord. He's the master. As you received him, as Lord, so ye walk in him by faith. That's how you receive him as Lord, by faith. So you're going to walk in him by faith. You're going to take God at his word. You're going to be filled by the Spirit. You're going to direct the aspect of the fruit, faith, and you're going to take God at his word. And that faith is going to take the hope from the promises of God's word, and it's going to give it reality and undergirding to you. Now, he's going to go on and explain in verse 7. So you have his explanation. He says, rooted. Now this term rooted In the Greek, it's called it's a perfect passive participle. Some of you might remember that this, as Dave did the series on the passives, he covered a number of the perfect passive participles. And so the perfect is looking at something that's happened in the past with abiding results going on into the future. And the passive is somebody else is doing the action. And so his explanation then is, so the King James says rooted, but it's stronger than that. It has the idea of having been rooted with the abiding result that you stand rooted. It's done. This is something that happens at initial salvation. He says, having been firmly rooted, now he switches to a present passive participle. So he's looking at something that's going on presently, continuously, and being built up in him. So coming back to our position in Christ. And then he comes back to another present passive participle. So somebody else is doing this building up and this establishing. It says, and being established by the faith. And so I think he's talking about the faith, the body of doctrine, of how we have victory over our spiritual enemies. And so we're in a state of having been rooted and are being built up in him and being established by the faith as you have been taught. We have to learn this. We have to learn this through God's word, through his standard, and then we have to begin to put it into practice. And so it's based on Christ's accomplishment and God's choice. Out from him are we in Christ Jesus, and so we're in a state of being firmly rooted in him, but we have these things that are presently going on in present tense salvation. We're being built up in him, and we're being established by the faith as taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Being rich, abounding with thanksgiving. The natural response for a spiritual Christian to grace is thanksgiving. Now, keep in mind that the world system sows discontent. The world system wants you to move in the realm of the flesh. One of the ways it can do that is sowing discontent. We could use the illustration of keeping up with the Joneses. That ties right into being discontent. All of a sudden, okay, well, oh well, so-and-so has this. I should have that. I deserve that, or why not have that? And so you can see how that works. So this Thanksgiving. Now we get to verse 8, and we have this warning. So Paul's warning of using different standards than what God has graciously provided. So he says, beware, lest any man spoil you. Just carry you off as prey through philosophy. The word philosophy, this fondness of wisdom and empty deceit. Measured by the tradition of men, measured by the rudiments of the world. So here we have two sets of standards that can lead one astray. The traditions of men and the rudiments, the elementary principles of the world system. And so what are the elementary rudiments of the world system? Well, he's going to come back to that later on in this chapter, but I'll tell you now, is the ABCs of the world system deal with following rules, keeping rules. And so he's warning to not be carried off as prey through a fondness of wisdom and empty deceit measured by the tradition of men, measured by the rudiments of the world, and not measured by Christ. So here's the standard that we should be paying attention to is the standard that we have from God according to Christ, the risen and glorified one. Now, he's going to go on and he's going to explain here that the Christian shares in Christ's death and resurrection. And so, let me just read these next four verses. He says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of deity bodily." And that four should probably be a because. He says, "And you are made fullness in him." So he comes back to our position in Christ. He says, "Who is the head of all principality and authority?" Just all rule and authority. And so this is the standard. If you want the ultimate standard, coming back to walk in him as you've received him as Lord, here he comes back and he says, he's the head of all rule and authority. He's also the head of the body. And he's going to come to the body a little later in the chapter. But he's going to explain first some things about our position in Christ in verse 11. He says, "In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins and of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, co-buried with him in baptism." So, reference to spirit baptism here. "In whom also you are co-risen with him through the faith of the operation or energizing from God who has raised him out from dead ones." He says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And so he's coming back to some things that are imputed to us because of our position in Christ. We're in Christ by spirit baptism. It's in Christ that we've been counted to have died to the sin nature. Let's turn back to Romans 6 if we could. And just, I'll pick up in 6:2. "May it never be. How shall we that died to the sin," the idea of the sin nature, sin principle, "live any longer by it? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So this all happens at initial salvation. It's imputed to us by God the Father. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father," the opinion of the Father, "even so we also should walk by newness of life." This newness of life, this resurrection life that we have, where we can live as those that have died to the sin nature, but alive unto God in our position in Christ. Now, coming back to Colossians 2, I'm going to skip forward because I see the time, but I'm going to skip up to 2:16. Then Don's telling me to crank it up, I think. And so, but in Colossians 2:16, you might want to read Colossians 2:14 and 15 on your own. I'm not going to do that. I'll be tempted to get bogged down and explain that. But let me just sum up by saying, when we get to 2:16, it's based upon Christ's accomplishment, or accomplishments, that the believer has a new standard, a new potential. So then in verse 16, he says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. These are all standards that are not for the Christian. Now, let me just mention this when it comes to the world system, Satan's world system. He does not mind taking something that God previously used as a standard for living and incorporating it into his world system for his children to live by. But those are not standards for Christians based upon the cross loop of Christ. And so that's kind of what I want you to pick up when you see in 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Remember, it kept track of failures. It didn't show how the capabilities of man, the law demonstrated what man was unable to do. And so he's talking about blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So that's where he gets to verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in these other areas, in meat or in drink, or respect of a holy day. In verse 17, he says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body belongs to Christ. That's the standard. That's the important environment that we need to be focused on, is the body. We're the body. He's the head. It's as the head of the body where we count him to be Lord of our lives. The spiritual environment. The world system emphasizes a physical environment, and it will focus your attention on physical things and time, the here and now. God's standard would have us focus our mind on the environment in Christ. That's a spiritual environment. The body of Christ is an environment where we can grow and function as God intends us to function. And so, as we move into this next section, I'm gonna go to Colossians 2:20. I'm gonna skip forward, but before I do, I just want to be reminded that we're already separated from the world system at initial salvation. Let's go back. Hold your spot in Colossians 2. And go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 14. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the way the world system is designed, the world system is designed for you to live in your flesh and to boast in men, to boast in man's accomplishment or what you can do in your own strength. It encourages certain works of the flesh that result in competition and zeal and so forth. Now, let me just, now I'm going to have you hold your place in two spots. We're coming back to Galatians 6, but as I'm saying this, I want to be able to, not just to be my opinion, I want to show you in Scripture. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And the word vain is the Greek word that has the idea of useless. They're useless. Therefore, verse 21, this is tying back to the wisdom of the world. Therefore, let no man boast in men. So you see that boasting in men there. That's the world system's wisdom is going to tell you This is what you can do. This is how you can do this. You can become, and so forth. I'm going to encourage you to live in certain works of the flesh. Now let's come back to Galatians 6, 14. But may it never be that I should boast except in the crosswork of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And so at initial salvation by spirit baptism, his death is our death, and we have been separated from the world system. And so as we looked at the last couple times, we're no longer out from the world system. We're not out from the world system as the source. We don't belong to it. We're in it, but we're just passing through. It's passing away, but it's not our concern. Not for us to get caught up in, and God has something for us in Christ, and he's got good works for us while we're here. Those are what we need to be concerned with, and the only way we're going to recognize those is by putting our position in Christ in the practice. Now, in verse 15, Paul explains, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, as if the idea of availeth anything is of any strength, nor uncircumcision. Those are related to standards that aren't for Christians. Those are related to standards that are physical. There's no strength in those things. But he says, but rather a new creation, a new creating is. The ellipsis is of strength. That's what's of strength for us, is this new creation, the new man, our position in the Christ. That's what's of strength in the Christian life. Now, let's go back to Colossians 2 and try and put this together now. And so, we've already been separated from the world system. In other words, we don't have to try and separate it from us, to separate from it. We've already been separated from it through the cross work. A lot of Christians are really busy trying to separate from the world system. All we need to do is put our position in the practice. That's where we are separated from it. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:9. He said, really, you'd have to leave the world in order to not associate with some of these things. Now, I just made a reference to a verse, and I can't quote it correctly. But we will turn there. 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 5. Let me get this for you. Okay, yeah, 5:9, where Paul says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, and not to intimately associate is the idea of this word company. So not to intimately associate with fornicators. Now he's going to clarify in verse 10. He says, yet not altogether with fornicators. If you're going to try to do that, good luck. He says, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you needs to go out of the world. And so, you know, it's all we need to do is put our position into practice. We're in the world. We're not out from it. We don't need to be trying to separate from it, but we don't want to be intimately associated with these things either. So now coming back to Colossians 2, in verse 20, he says, here, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. And so just literally he says, wherefore, since you've died intimately together with Christ from the rudiments, the ABCs of the world system, the elementary principles, just rule keeping as a way of life. Since you've died with Christ from the ABCs of the world system, He says, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? So he's asking this question. It doesn't make any sense. If you've already died to the world system, he says, why, as though living in the world, are you obligated to its decrees, to its standards, is what he's saying. The world system has its standards by which you can march by. He's saying, you've got a position in Christ. Since you've died with Christ from the basic principles of the world system, why are you being obligated to live by its standards? It doesn't make sense. You've got a better standard, a standard where you can live free from the sin nature. You can live by grace. Remember, we're to reckon ourselves to be dead unto the sin nature, but alive unto God. That word alive unto God is speaking of Romans 6:11. It's a present participle. Living to God. We're to reckon ourselves living to God. We're not to be reckon ourselves as living in the world, like this is it. This is what we have. This physical life is here and now based upon health, wealth, and whatever we can have in this physical life. That's not where our promise is. God's got us. He's got it taken care of. We're the richest beings in the universe. We've got the greatest inheritance, the greatest retirement. If you just look past this physical life, we can't even begin to comprehend what God has for us. Let me go back and let's just be reminded of where reckoning our position in Christ is mentioned and its importance in Romans 6:11. He says, likewise, reckon or impute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto this sin, but alive unto God. And that word alive is just living. It's the same form he says here, but living to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, that title, Lord. Reckon yourselves to be living unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He goes on in verse 12, let not the sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye, and you know the word yield has the idea of present, neither present ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto the sin, but yield or present yourselves unto God as those that are alive. Again, another present participle, as those that are living from the dead, out from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Unto God. Let me come back to Colossians 2. In verse 21, you see some examples of the elementary principles, the ABCs of the world system. Touch not, taste not, handle not. The elementary principles, the ABCs of the world system are to follow rules. To follow rules. That's the basic principle of what the world system is designed on. You remember, Satan's system is designed to curtail certain works of the flesh, but to live in others. And so the ABCs are to simply follow rules and to learn to trust in your own abilities. And he says, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and the teachings of men. So in verse 23, we see that these things, they do have a reputation for wisdom, but it stops short of having any true value because there's no value in satisfying the flesh. So he goes on, he says, which are all to perish. That's verse 22. Verse 23, he says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. They have a reputation, if you will, of wisdom, And he says, in will worship, just self-imposed religion, not a standard by God, and humility and neglecting of the body, he says, not in any honor. The word honor is the idea of not in any value to the satisfying of the flesh, to the gratifying, to the indulgence of the flesh. There's no value in these things in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. But it has a reputation or a show of that. And so when Christians get involved with ordering the details of their lives by rules, by law principles, we end up counting ourselves alive to the sin nature. We move into the realm of not living under grace, but living by rules, by law principles. Let's turn with me over to Galatians 3:11. But that no man is declared righteous by law. It's anarthros in the Greek. In the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live out from faith. And the law is not out from faith, but rather the man that is doing them, he shall live by them. And so the world system is designed then to provide structure, to live by rules. And we have to be careful because we can accept that as a standard and neglect what we have in Christ. See, because we're not under law, we're under grace. I didn't go down and read Romans 6:14. Now, we have an alternative life in Christ to living by law principle. Let's go back to Romans 6, if you will. In Romans 6, know you not that to whom you yield yourself slaves to obey? This is Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield or present yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of the sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, because you were slaves of the sin, but you have obeyed out from the heart that form of didache, doctrine for belief and practice, which was delivered you. Being then made free from the sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. Now, Don set me up nicely earlier this morning, and I had to pull out my notes and show Brenda this, because Don pointed out that all chapter breaks doesn't mean there's a new idea started. So I have in my notes Romans 7:25 to 8:2, because this connects. And so Paul's been talking about in Romans 7, of course, trying to live in his own strength and dealing with the sin nature. Now, in verse 25, in the Greek, you have what's called a mende clause. So he's saying, on one hand this, but on the other hand this other thing. And so Paul says, I thank God, and as Don had mentioned, this word thank here in the English is actually a translation of a word for grace. And so I like to translate this. I've struggled with these paruses that we see translated thanks or thank to God a lot of times. I translate it as is gratitude for grace. I like to try and bring the grace concept in here. And so Paul is saying, I'm going to translate it that way. He says, gratitude for grace is to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We keep seeing that little Lord title pop up in these verses. He says, so then, I myself with the mind on the one hand, serve a law of God, but on the other hand, with the flesh, a law or a principle of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to the ones which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and of the death. And so we have this alternative life in Christ where we can live by grace. We can live free from the sin nature. And what Paul is saying is it comes down to directing the mind. The mind. Verse 25, he said, I myself with the mind serve a law of God. But with the flesh, he's going to serve as a slave, sin. And so ultimately, that's what it boils down to us, is how are we going to direct our mind? And so now as we go back to Colossians, we can make this connection that this is ultimately the connection that I wanted to make, as coming after chapter 2, in verse 20, he says, wherefore, since you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances, to its decrees? Touch not, taste not, handle not. And we go on. Now in verse 3, he comes back and he says, since ye then be co-risen. Now you don't see it in the English, but that then is actually an un, it's a therefore. He says, therefore, since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Talking about since you have this position in Christ, his death is your death. He's been raised. We're counted to be raised. That's the environment that where we want our mind. He says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is on the right hand of God. He says, set your frame of mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. And now we're getting down to, here's God's standard for how we're to use our mind to direct our mind. The world system is going to put your attention on the physical, the here and the now, what you can do or what you can be and how you can accomplish it independent of God. But in Christ, you can be free from the sin nature. You can be free from living a legalistic, by legalistic principles. And so he says, set your frame of mind of things above, not on the earth. And so now you have the explanation in verse 3, the explanatory God. For you are dead, for you died. And your life is hid with the Christ in the God. So now he comes back to your position in Christ, where we're supposed to be walking in him. So we're going to have to frame our mind on things above. We're going to have to set our frame of mind on things above, not on the earth. World system is going to set up standards. It's going to frame your mind on what's going on here and now, what's going on with you. Physically, financially, I mean, you could just go right down the road. Temporally, the here and the now. God has us covered. So we're in the world system, but we're not out from it. We can walk in our position in Christ and be a part of accomplishing what God has for us. It's all temporary. The world system is passing away. Let's turn, as we're going to just finish up with two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 31, and I'm going to pick this up a little out of context, but this is the verse where you can see that they that use this world. And so we're in it. We have to use certain things about the world system. It's kind of the dilemma and why the world system can be subtle, because we already use it, but it's not to be the all thing in our life, and we're not to use it to its full. He says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, just not making full use of it. We don't make full use of it and accept its standards and set God's standards aside. We use it as it fits into what God has for us in our position in Christ and the good works that he's prepared for us. And so not abusing, and then he explains, another explanatory garb, for the fashion of this world passes away. And so the world system, it's passing away, it's temporary. Satan's malignant system is at the end of the line. It's just a matter of time, perhaps today, when we're called to that meeting in the air, the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, will begin shortly after that. Christ will be coming back to earth, and the new book will be with him at the end of those 7 years. And this world system is going to be utterly shattered and destroyed. Not going to keep the remnants in the form of it. Let's go ahead and just end in 1 John 2:17. Again, he says, and the world is passing away. This world system is passing away. It's a sinking ship. And the lust thereof. But he that is doing the will of God, and the King James reads abides forever. And but it's our term, he abides, it just remains at ease. He that is doing the will of God, he just remains at ease into the age. And so how are we going to consistently be doing the will of God? It comes back to our position in Christ and that certain title that we've crossed many times today is He as Lord. He as Lord. And when we do that, we can be at ease. We can be in this world system, but not out from it as the source. And we can maneuver. We don't have to separate from it. We're already separated. It's a condemned system, and it's passing away. Let's close. Father, thank you for these truths. We're thankful for grace. We're thankful for our position in Christ, and we're thankful that he's accomplished these things on our behalf. So may we boast in that. Thank you again. In Christ's name, amen.